Okay, very good. Let's begin. David Stein said he's going to probably call in either to Rav Moshe, who isn't here, so I guess he'll get the news that he isn't here, and or Rav Simcha. So you might get a call from David Stein to listen in. I didn't want to mess with this because I didn't know if it was going to affect the recording. So Bert was here. We're starting now. Four lines from the end, Tanur Rabbanan. We had a Mishnah that said that we were Masi and Masos, that we would put up these torches once we knew that the Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh. The question our Gemara is going to be dealing with here is, when did they do these torches? Did they do them only for a Chasser month? Did they do them only for a Mali month? Or did they do them for both a Chasser and a Mali month? So says the Gemara, Ein Masi and Masos, Ela Ala Chodesh, and Yira Bizmano Lekadsho. You only did the torches when it was Bizmano, which means on the 30th day. When Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh, meaning they had made the previous month of 29, it was a Chasser month, that's when they did it. Ve'emasai Masin, and when did they actually put up the torches? La'or Iburo, the evening following the 30th. So the evening following the 29th, after the 29th, is when the Eidim saw the new moon. They came in to testify on the 30th day, and of course, there's no point of putting up torches in the day because Shraga Batira Mayahani, right? Throwing a little Hanukkah Torah there. What's the point of putting up a torch during the broad daylight? Nobody's going to see it. So they would wait until the evening time, right after Shkia, they put it up. So it was the evening following the 30th day is when they would do it. Says the Gemara Lameimra, which implies the Achasar Avdinan, Amali Lo Avdinan. And that concludes Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. So thank you all for coming. All right. So it's funnier when I do it to him.
What I miss here?
You missed about two lines in the Gemara, which are pivotal for the next 285 lines of the Gemara. So you can come back in about 6 months.
No, seriously.
You missed the first two lines of the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. We're talking about when we put up the torches.
Yeah,
when we put up the torches. Do we put up the torches on a Chasser month, a Malay month, or on both months? The Gemara says we only do it on a Chasser, not on a Malay. My time, well, what's the reason for that? I'm Reb Zera. Reb Zera said, Gzera Mishur.
What am I missing?
I love it. But I'm Reb Zera, Gzera Mishur, Reb Rosh Chodesh.
Chodesh Nir Bizmano.
Bizmano means means the third, a Chasser.
Why is Bizmano a Chasser?
Because in order to be, they call it Bizmano, and they also call it Lekadsho, and they also call it Iburo, because it is the day that determines, it's really the day that determines whether it's going to be Chasser or Mali. So it's called Bizman. It's like the Iker Zman is the 30th. That's what everything hinges on the 30th day. Because if we don't Mekadesh on the 30th day, Mimele becomes a 31 day, or I should say a 30 day month. And we do it on the 31st day. So the Zman, the Iker Zman for Kiddush HaChodesh essentially is the 30th day. That's like the trigger point. So it's called Bizmano, Lekadsho. It's also called Iburo.
Yom Iburo.
Iburo.
Yom Iburo, right.
Yom Iburo.
That makes sense, but Zmano doesn't make sense.
Intercalate.
It's the day. I don't know what it means.
It's the intercalation date.
David, I'm totally
that
lost.
That three times fast, that three times fast. What?
Totally lost. As to where.
We're in the top now.
We're on the way bottom of Chav Beis Amud Beis, of 22B. Okay? The Gemara is the
last. On the top of it.
Fine. When I'm on the top, I'll let you know. When I'm on the top,
wait,
I'll let
wait,
you know.
Wait. You're on at
22B at the way bottom. Last footnote.
Wait.
Not the one you wrote, the one that they wrote.
Wait. Oh. Okay.
All right? Okay. So, my time, what's the reason why we only do the torch on a Chasser month and not on a Malay month? So, the Gemara says, Amar Reb Zera. Gzeira. We have a Gzeira. Mishum Rosh Chodesh Chaser Shechal Yos Be'erev Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh is a chaser and it falls out on Erev Shabbos, so then what do? Amos Avdi, when would we put up the torch if that were the case? We can't put it up on Friday night because that's a Chilul Shabbos, it's a Malachan Shabbos, so we can't do that. So what's the only opportunity that we have to do it? It's going to be Motzei Shabbos. Bafuke Shabbos, it's when Shabbos comes out. You're going to do it when Shabbos comes out. Now, the Iyamart Navid Nami Amale, and if you're going to tell me, oh, we should do the torch not only on a Chasa, but even on a Mule, then what's going to happen? The Mule would be Shabbos, and...
No one will know.
People are going to make mistakes. Amri, some people are going to say, Hi chaser hu, v'hai delo avid me'esmo mishum delo efsher. Some people are going to say, it's really a chaser month, and the reason why they didn't do it the previous day is because they couldn't, because it was Shabbos. Oh, Dilmore, perhaps. Malehu, maybe it's a Malehu bismanu avdu. Maybe it's a Mule, and they're doing a bismanu. So nobody's going to know. So therefore, we say, you know what? We're not going to do it on a Mule. We're only going to do it on a chaser, and therefore people will know. No matter what, they're going to know.
Chaser, again, is short month.
Yes, it's a 29-day month, exactly. Okay? So the Gemara says, now, wait a minute. Vili avid bein amale bein achaser. I'll tell you a better solution. We should do the torches at all times, and the chimikla rosh chodesh be'erev Shabbos loli avid klal. I'll tell you like this. Most months, it's going to come out that we're able to do it. Right? Because most months, it's not going to be a chaser falling out on erev Shabbos. So, most months, you're going to be able, or a mule falling on erev Shabbos. So most months, you're going to be able to get it done. It'll be a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Right? Or Shabbos. You'll be able to do it. So, why don't you just do the torch on either a chaser or a mule month, and in the rare times, let's call it once or twice a year, right, approximately, on average, that it comes out that it's on Erev Shabbos, so then we don't do it at all. Why don't we do that? That's a better solution than having a whole thing and just doing it on a chaser month, gzeira, because of a chaser month that falls out on Erev Shabbos. That's a one-off.
That's a problem.
Yeah, what's the problem with that?
What if the Mule month comes on an Erev Shabbos?
So if the Mule month comes on an Erev Shabbos, then if the Mule month comes out on Erev Shabbos, then we would do it on Motzei Shabbos.
Everyone would understand.
Everyone would understand that it must have been a Mule month because it was a Chasser month and it was Thursday night. We should have done it on Thursday, right? So people would know.
Yeah.
So it would be only the rare opportunity, the rare time when the chaser month falls out on Friday evening, that on Friday that we have that issue. So taka, for that one time, I'm like, we're not going to do it. But, you know, why be mavatel a whole torch thing, whole torch ceremony, you know? I mean, if the Olympics came out on Friday, I mean, we would still do the torch, right?
No. Oh.
Okay. At any rate,
the vital of the torch ceremony anyway because of the Baitusim.
Oh, because of the North Korea Baitusim.
Baitusim.
What?
Baitusim.
So you're saying the Olympics should not be no hate.
The Mishnah says that the Kutlo Baitusim they this whole thing anyway.
Uh-huh. So you're saying the Olympics they're going against the Takana. Okay, fine. They're going against the Takana. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says again, again. So we should do it on both. The chimikle Rosh Chodesh for Erev Shabbos lo liyavet klal. We don't do it at all on Rosh Chodesh Erev Shabbos. The kevan de lo avdin on Motzei Shabbos. And since we don't do it on Motzei Shabbos va'avdin on a mule, and we normally do it on a mule, may the yadia, people will know the chaser who. People will therefore know that it's chaser. So in the one off where it falls out, a chaser falls out on Erev Shabbos, so then don't do it. People will know what's going on. People will know that the reason why you didn't do it is because it's a chaser, and that's it. So why do we have this whole takana? You're not going to do it on a mule. So Gemara says, afilu hachi asu lemite. Because if you did that, people are still going to make a mistake. Why? Because they're going to see Amri, they're going to say, hi, mulehu. They're going to say, you know what? It's true that there was no torch on Motzei Shabbos, but they're not going to say the reason why there was no torch on Motzei Shabbos is because there was a chaser month on Erev Shabbos. They're going to say, hi, malehu. Really, it's a mule. It's a mule, and it should be on Shabbos. V'hai d'lo avdi itnusi hu d'itnusi. The reason why they didn't do it, the reason why there's no torch, even though they taka should put up a torch, is because there was an ones that happened. Rashi says, what was the ones? The ones is that people got shikr with liquor.
On Shabbos.
People got shikr with liquor, and they decided
something's never
they're not going to do it. Something's never changed. That's right.
Something
this is generations.
Never changed.
What?
Drinking on Shabbos never changed.
People do. People get shikker with liquor. So therefore, because people are getting shikker on Shabbos, that's why an ones happened. And therefore, that's why we didn't do it on Motzei Shabbos. But maybe Taka, it was a mole all along. So we're not going to know.
Someone's bothering me. What about in really bad weather? How do they do this if they rainstorms and like...
Right, it could be an onus also.
What?
There was a problem with rain or some other technicality. Different onus, not just. Ethan Grash is giving that as an example of an onus.
Put up a tent, what's the big deal?
I don't know.
Rain, snow, heavy wind.
Heavy wind. Huh? I mean, they are on the top of a mountain, so I guess the winds are pretty. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. How do the Olympics do it? Because they do it during all types of weather.
It could be there were other onuses, I think, right?
No, I'm just saying it's the same type of torch. It's a huge torch. We're not talking about a little match. They lit a massive torch. You know, this was like a, you know, I mean, it had to be seen from how many parcels, 8 parcels away. We're talking about a massive torch. So I don't know that even a strong wind is going to be able to blow it out. I don't know that. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I have a feeling that that's the answer is Tully in the Olympics. Right?
David, now you were saying a couple of Shabbosim a year.
Yeah, because when is... Yeah.
The couple of Shabbosim... No, the couple of Shabbosim a year that you light on Motzei Shabbos...
Couple Shabbos a year that you light on Motzei Shabbos, yeah.
Okay, might that cause confusion? Was it because of Shabbos or was it because it was a mala?
If it's because it's a shot, what do you mean? If it's a Shabbos, what do you mean?
People don't want to do malacha.
No, I'm saying.
What's the situation?
Did they light Motzei Shabbos? Because it was a...
In what situation? What's the situation?
Because it was a Kasser month?
What's the situation?
No.
When was Rosh Chodesh? Yeah, I got to set this up right.
The couple of times that Shabbos fell, you know, that it was a Kasser.
Yeah, okay. So let's say it's a Kasser month that falls out on Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos is when they would do the tour, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it cause possible confusion... Okay, a mala month, you never do. You only light for a customer.
Correct. You only light for the chassar. So if they're doing it on Motzei Shabbos, people must know that it's because of the chassar.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Got it. Okay. So now the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't we do it the opposite? V'liyavid a mala, v'lo liyavid a chassar. Why don't we do it on a mala month and not on a chassar month? You're telling me that we should do it on a chassar month and not on a mala. Why don't we do it the opposite way around? You shouldn't do it on the chaser at all. So Amar Abaye says, "Mishum bitul malacha la'am shnei yamim." Now there's a machlokes on how you learn this, but Pashtus according to Rashi, Pashtus this means if you're only going to do the torch on the Malay month, then when it comes out for Rosh Hashanah for Tishrei, everybody's going to be observing. Everybody in Galus in Bavel is going to be observing. Day one, which is the Chasser day, they're going to be observing, because they don't know what's what, so they're going to be observing the Chasser day, maybe that's going to be Rosh Chodesh, and that's Rosh Hashanah, and then they're going to have to wait and observe day two also, in anticipation of the torch. So they're going to have no idea, they're never going to know, and you're going to find that Bnei Bavel is always celebrating, and having to celebrate, and having to be Mavato from Malacha for 2 days on Rosh Hashanah, no matter what. Because they won't know if it's a chasser and they didn't do a torch because you don't do it on a chasser, or if it's a malay and then they do the malay after the 2 days. Well, by the time the torch came up, they weren't doing malacha for 2 days. So because of the bitul malacha for 2 days, where Bnei Bavel would always have to celebrate a 2-day yomtif, so therefore we said, you know what, instead we're going to do the torches on the chasser month, on the chasser day, and therefore, should the torches go up after the first day, then people will know, okay, we celebrated the first day, that happened to be Rosh Hashanah, and we blew the shofar and everything was dandy, and the following day we could do malacha, so it's great. So that's how Rashi learns, because on every Tishrei, you're going to have a problem of the Am being mevatel for melacha for 2 days. Now Tosa says, why does Rashi have to limit it to Dafka Rosh Hashanah, Dafka Tishrei? You can say this is true every single month, because as Tosa points out in a Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, which we're going to get to in approximately
7 months.
Way off. He's way off.
You're going to get to which
one? Rosh Hashanah Tainis. We're going to Tainis, then Megillah. So we're talking at the very least. We're talking at least a year. Maybe not. Maybe closer to 11 months. I don't know. No, maybe it's 10, 11 months. Anyway. At any rate, the Gemara Megillah does say that there was a minhag, we don't really do it anymore, at least not that I know of, that women do not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And so, Tosa says, why does Rashi have to limit his case to Rosh Hashanah, where the Am is mevutal from malacha, where in Rosh Chodesh as well, the women are not doing malacha either. So that would be a big stringency on the women, that every single month, every single Rosh Chodesh, they would have to be mevatel from malacha for 2 full days. Okay, that's Tosa. We'll get there soon enough. Anyway, that's the Gemara. Now we get a little agadata for the next 30 to 40 lines, okay? And really until the end of this of tonight's limud. Here we go. The Gemara says like this: Ketzad hayomasin masos mavin klunsos. They would bring these klunsos. They would bring these poles of cedar wood. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda dalamine razumhem. There are 4 types of cedar. Erez, 1. Katrum is 2. Eis Shemen is 3. And Brosh is 4. What is Katrum? What is the second one? Katrum is Amarav Adra. It is an Adra tree. Now, if you remember back from Gemara and Beitza, the Adra tree is a very highly well-respected tree. It is a very, it is a tree that is planted by the affluent and by the well-known. At any rate, that's the Adra tree. Debei Rebbe Shila Amri Mavliga. It's the Mavliga tree. And if you don't know what a Mavliga tree is, then you have no help.
Why?
Because how can you not know what a Mavliga tree is? Oh, you probably have pictures of all the trees.
I'm going to look at it right now.
Va'amri la zugulmish. Also, some people say it's the gulmish tree. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, please, when you when you're... Make sure you got all your arrazim straight. I don't want any problems with your arrazim. I'm tired of listening to your arrazim. Alright.
I understand. Erez is a type of Erez?
Erez is the cedar. It's the cedar tree.
So Erez is also the type.
Yeah. There's an Erez. It's like New York City, New York. You know?
Right.
Bring up a little. Yeah, it's a good point. The Gemara says there are 4 types of Arazim, and one of them is Erez. So it's like, what does that mean? So it's like New York City, New York.
The standard
Erez, right? And then there's like the upper grade, right? Like the silver, the platinum, and the gold.
Or special Erez.
Okay, could be. Upliga de Rava. Anyway, this statement of Rav Yehuda says there are 4 minim of Erezim. He argues with Rabba bar Rav Huna. The Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna Amri Be Rav Asara minei Erezim Heim. There are actually 10 types of Erezim trees. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Etein b'midbar. I will place in the midbar Erez, Shita, Hadas, Eitz Shemen, Asim Barav, I will place in the west, Barosh, Tidhar, the Teshod, Yachtav, and Teshod. So that's actually only 7.
What's Arava mean?
What? Arava in the west.
Marava
is west. Acacia, Marava.
Arava in the Arava.
Arava is like a midbar.
What is it? What is this?
It says Arava is midbar, and midbar is wilderness.
Yeah,
Midbar is a type of part of Midbar.
Okay, it's type of Midbar. I stand corrected. Thank you very much.
Arava Desert.
Okay, very good. Anyway, what is the Erez? That's the Arza. Okay, it's the Arza, I guess, the cedar. Shita, when it says Shita in the Pasuk, what is that? That is the Tornisa, which is the pine. Hadas is the Asa. We know what the Hadas is. That's the myrtle. Eitz Shemen is the Aparsama, which is balsam. Brosh is the Barta, which is the boxwood. I'm testing you on all this. You should know. I'm testing you on all this. Okay? I don't want you mixing up your boxwoods with your pines. I just can't have that. Tidhar is the shaga, which is the fir tree, FIR. Teshor is the Sharivna, which is the Sharivna tree. Okay? Sounds like a Persian type of thing. Sharivna. Anyway. Hani, so the Gemara says, what do you mean there were 10? There's only, the Pasuk only listed 7. Hani Shiva Havu, this is 7. Where do you get 10 from? So Kiasa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Dimi came along and he added 3. Hosifu Alehem, Alunim, Almunim, and Almugim. Okay? This sounds like the type of thing my 6-year-old would say, but this is these were actual trees. What is the Alunim tree? It's the Botmi, which is the... I wrote this down, and now I can't
elm.
Even...
Elm.
Very good.
I have that from my business 20 years ago.
Very good. Almonim is the bloti, which is the...
Oak.
Almugim is kasisa, which is the coral. We know the coral. Coral is actually in the ocean.
Coral.
And ikata amri, that those say it's not the almugim, alunim. It's the aronim, arumunim, almugim. What are arunim? Is eri, which is a laurel tree. And armonim is the dulvi, which is the chestnut.
And again, the point of this is what? These types of woods are what?
This, the Gemara is really just saying there are 10 types of arazim.
What's the point?
What's the point of the Gemara telling us? Why do I care?
It's just for factual, for historical purposes.
The Mishnah had said that there were 10 types. The Mishnah had said that mevi'in klunsos shel araza, right? Araza. So I'm guessing that any one of these trees would qualify for the type of thing that you can use in these torches. Guess that's the point. I'm guessing that's the point. Right? And I don't know what would happen if you were to use a different type of tree, if maybe the Mishnah is saying you shouldn't be using those because they're not as they're not as long lasting. I don't know exactly why, but this is what the Gemara says. At any rate, the Arunim is the Armunim tree, Almugim, the Arunim is the laurel, the Armunim is the chestnut, and Almugim is the kasisa, which is, we said, the coral. Now that we mentioned the coral, we have to, of course, discuss the coral, of course, right? So now the Gemara is going to discuss a little agadita about the coral and how precious the coral was and how difficult it was to farm the coral from the depths of the ocean. So now the Gemara says like this, listen to this, it's going to knock your socks off. Vitzi adir lo yavrenu. This Gemara is a nevuah from Yeshayahu, who says that there is going to be a great river that emanates from the Kodesh Kadashim, or the Har HaBayis, and it will be so great, and it will be so vast, that not even the greatest, the Tzi Adir, not even the greatest ship will be able to cross it. Amar Rav, what is this great ship? Zuburni Gadola. It's the Burni Gadola, which is a huge, huge Titanic, if you will. So Hechayavdu, then what did they use this Burni for if it wasn't going to be able to traverse such an ocean? So what they did was, Maisu, what they would do is they would bring Shis Alfi Gavri, 6,000 people, Betresi Archisha, so over a span of 12 months. Vamrilan, some people say it was actually Tresar Alfi Gavri, 12,000 people, Beshisi Archisha, over a span of 6 months. So they got their sixes and their twelves messed up, right? Sounds like
the same man hours.
What?
Same number of man hours.
Same number of man hours. Very good. That's a good SAT question. Okay? But it's the same number of man hours, exactly. They just got their sixes and their twelves messed up. I guess they're like seventh grade math, least common multiples they're having problems with. But in any case, it's one of those two. Vitani ala chala, and they would put chala, which is sand. They would fill up this great ship with a ton of sand, maybe even more than a ton of sand, ad d'shachna, until it would actually start to sink because of the weight of the sand. V'nachis, bar amurai, and then these great deep sea divers would jump into the would go down into the ocean, because already now you can imagine the ship has been lowered, sunken down to the bottom of the ocean. The Qatar Atuni, and they would tie Atuni the Kisna, these ropes of Kisna, which is flax, flax is a very type of rope. So they would rope this kisna, this flax, bikasisa. They would tie it to the coral, which we said is in the depths of the ocean. So these deep sea divers would come. They would tie this flax, this rope of flax, around the coral, okay? And the katerluhu bisvinasa. And then the other end of the flax they would tie to the boat. And then venatlichala, then they would release the sand. And what does that mean? What does that do to the boat when you release the sand? It starts to rise. And you've got now, you have this tension in the rope
pulling
the coral out. Exactly. Vishadu
librai. One question.
Well, I didn't finish this. Okay. This is the good stuff. The shadula bray, and then they would send take the sand out, throw it out. The kama de medalia, and as much as the boat would go up, akra umasya, they would it would uproot and bring up the coral from the depths of the ocean. Umachlif al chad train bekaspa, and each coral can be traded in for 2 silver coins. So they were actually very precious. Let me just finish this Gemara and then I'll take your question. Tlas Parvasa Havyan. The Gemara goes on a tangent and says you should know there are 3 total ports where precious things are farmed out of. Tarti Be Armai. 2 of them are in the Armenian area, or some people say it's actually the Roman area. Vechada de Bay Parsai, and 1 of them is in the Persian area. De Bay Armai, the one that's in the Roman area, or the Armenian area. Maskin Kisisa, that one actually brings up the Kisisa, which is the coral that we just mentioned. De Bay Parsai, the 2 ports that are in the Persian area, the port that's in the Persian area, Maskin Marganisa, that you can actually farm jewels from.
Same system, though.
What?
The same system.
Good question. Is that the same system?
With
the jewels? Why? Why do you have to? I don't know if you need to do that. Makaria parvasa de meshamhig, and because of its preciousness, it's called the royal port, because there are jewels that come out of it. So all of these types of
which one's called the Parsai?
The Parsai, because that brings up the jewels.
Pearls as opposed to the corals.
Pearls, yes. As opposed to the corals. Pearls are also nice, but yeah.
Okay, now, you spoke about the divers.
Yes.
Okay. And we're talking about, you know, the flooding coming from the Beit HaMikdash area, right?
No, that's really a separate issue. The Gemara, that was a kind of a tangent, right? The Gemara had said.
Okay,
don't get caught up in the stories. It's not really.
If the ship sinks,
and nobody's there,
it's not going to sink all the way to the bottom of the sea.
No, it's going.
Although the sea, are you saying the sea was rather shallow?
I think it was probably on the shallower end. Why are you asking?
Okay, because if you're saying it's going to sink to the bottom of the sea.
Yes.
Okay, then.
And the water is going to flood.
Submerges the ship.
Yes.
And the divers.
Okay, it's a good point.
You know, when you dive on a certain level.
Yes.
Down.
Yes.
You know, there's this pressure that, you know, you can't survive.
Right. Well, okay. Let's say it wasn't the depths of the ocean. It was probably a shallower part.
Okay.
Addressing the issue about the ship being submerged. The ship would obviously have to have walls that are long enough, big enough, that submerging it into the ocean is not going to cause a flooding. Because otherwise, you're
so
not
in
doing
other words,
anything.
They knew what the level of the ocean floor was at that point.
Yes, they did. They
at
did.
Those
divers had
yes, they did.
Oxygen masks?
Okay.
Can't snorkel?
I don't know. These were professional divers. I have to ask.
Could be allegorical, the whole thing.
Yeah, it could be allegorical, absolutely.
Yeah,
it could be, absolutely could be allegorical. Yeah.
It's an interesting question.
Absolutely.
The old TV program, Sea Hunt.
All right, yeah, it's definitely time to go on.
It's not clear whether the pearls were extracted that way.
That's way before my time. It's about 50 years before my time. Very good.
You don't think the pearls were extracted that way, too?
Pashtus is not?
What's
I don't know if you have to... pearls are usually... You know, you find pearls in oysters and whatnot. I mean, you don't farm it out.
Is there anything that suggests
I don't think so.
It's a side point.
It's a side point. I don't think that it's tied. I don't think it's tied into it.
Pearls
I might go with Moshe on this, that the whole thing is allegorical anyway. I'm Rabbi Yochanan.
Right.
Rabbi Yochanan says like this: Kol shita v'shita, every single piece of wood shenatlu nachrim Yerushalayim, that the non-Jews took out of Yerushalayim, stole from Yerushalayim, asa dekadosh baruch hu lachziron la. Hashem is going to return those woods back to Yerushalayim. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, etein bamidbar erez shita. I am going to put in the midbar erez shita, the cedar wood. Ve'ein midbar el Yerushalayim, and midbar Yerushalayim. Go ahead.
Shita is pine.
Ah, the shita is pine. Did we have that before? Yes, you're right. The shita is a pine. I'm sorry.
You know, this is what fulfilled this prophecy.
How so?
The current economy is filled. They plant pine trees all over the country.
What? Is that true?
Yeah.
They're planting pine trees all over the
country. That's the main thing they do, no?
I mean, is that JNF? Trees that they plant
for thousands of years. It's not new to the environment.
Why? That's the pine.
I know. It's the pine. You plant the pine tree.
It's true that most of the wood in Eretz Yisrael is pine.
Yes.
I just don't know why Davka pine that they're doing, but that's fascinating.
Because it's right for this area.
Can you look into why it is that Davka they plant pine?
No, because I always never do these homeworks.
I'm not making it a requirement because it's like an optional. Like
it's a very good wood for furniture.
You get like a little bonus if you do it. You're not getting an A plus.
It's a very good furniture.
All right. David's going to listen to the MP3 and he's going to look this up for me.
Pine homework?
Pine homework, yeah.
I'm a Rabbi Yochanan.
I'm pining for the answer. Okay, very good. Says the Gemara, Etein bamidbar erez shita. I'm going to put in the midbar pine wood. Ve'ein midbar el Yerushalayim. And when it says midbar, it's referring to Yerushalayim, as it says in the pasuk Shenemar, Tzion midbar haisa. Tzion, which is Yerushalayim, was a midbar. Bechule. So Hashem, Rabbi Yochanan says Hashem is going to return the pine, and says Reb Zev that that's happening Hayom Hazeh. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Alomi Torah Ve'enim Alamda.
Equating Yerushalayim during the Gullus, essentially, exactly,
which is what it was. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan kol alomi Torah ve'enu malamda, a person who learns Torah and doesn't teach it to others, doma lahadas b'midbar. He is similar to a hadas in the desert, which I'm assuming is a
myrtle in the wilderness.
A myrtle in the wilderness is not going to last for very long, and so a person who learns Torah and doesn't give it over to others is also not going to last very long. Ikadami, there are those that say it's learned differently. Kol alome Torah umalamda, a person who learns Torah and teaches it over, b'makom she'ein tamidi chachamim, in a place where there are no tamidi chachamim to carry it over, to teach it over, and he's doing so, domer lahadas b'midbar. He is similar to a hadas in the midbar, dechaviv, which is very precious, it's very special, because it's very rare to find a myrtle in the midbar, so when you do find it, it's considered very beloved. V'amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan wraps up this little stint of Agadatas with Oy lahem la'ovdei kochavim. Woe is to the non-Jews. She'ein lahem takana. There is no fix for what they've done. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, tachas hanachoshes avizahat. In place of the nachoshes that they stole, I can bring gold, says Hashem. The tachas abarzel, and that in place of the barzel that they stole, avi kesef, I can put silver. The tachas ha'etzim nachoshes, and in place of the etzim they stole, I can bring nachoshes. The tachas ha'avanim barzel, and instead of the avanim, we can replace it with barzel. But tachas Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav, but in place of Rabbi Akiva and his friend who were killed al kiddush Hashem, my mavin, what can you possibly do to replace those? And so the goyim are going to have to pay a hefty price on the senseless murder of the Asara Harugi Malchus. Va'aleim hu oimer, and on it, on these great Tamidei Chachamim, the pasuk says, v'nikesi damam lo nikesi. When it comes to their blood, I cannot cleanse them of that. I will never cleanse the non-Jews for the blood of the Asara Harugi Malchus. I will never forgive them for what they did.
On the other hand, we said that was a kapara for the Mechiras Yosef.
Yes, it was a kapara for that's true, but it didn't have to happen the way it happened. right? It didn't have to happen. Maybe it's true that they deserve to die, but in the hands of the people who did it and the way in which they did it was, you know, it's like Megalgalin Chova Al Yedei Chayiv, you know? It might be that Taka, it was in fact...
They took delight in doing it.
What? They took delight in doing it and they tortured them. And even though it was the Gzera from Shemayim that this should happen, it was not a Gzera from Shemayim that these people should do it in the way that they did it. They didn't have to do it in the way in which they did it, and that is that. Yeshikayach.
Yeah.
We solved this one in less than 35 minutes. Yeah.